Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show across the nation. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Glad to have you with me. I am awaiting Congressman Chip Roy. Let's see here. he was held up at a meeting, and I am going to see if I can get the congressman on board. Let's see. There we go. Congressman Chip Roy, how are you?
I'm great, Eric. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm great. Miracle of modern technology here. We're able to connect. Now, I've been talking about this, and I'm assuming you heard Dan Patrick's clip about Article 1, Section 4, or Article 4, Section 4 the other day. And it looks like essentially what amounts to an invasion at the border, not a military invasion, but a massive swarm of people coming across into the country. You've been down there and wanted to see if you could describe the scene.
Yeah, Eric, I appreciate it. Yeah, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution guarantees us a form of Republican government and says that the federal government is supposed to protect us from invasion. If you go look down at what's occurring down right now on our 10,000 people, mostly Haitians, who are coming from, Haiti up through Central America, Mexico, and then coming up the cartels, making lots of money, moving them up through Del Rio. Just last week, I was down with Senator Cruz in Uvalde. I was down in Laredo. I was in Roma. I was in McAllen, meeting with ranchers, meeting with local leaders down there. And we literally have, like, 4,000 or 5,000 people in a facility down in McAllen. Ranchers are having their fence lines cut. You've got, illegal immigrants who are dying on ranches, 89 dead bodies in Brooks County, 75 or so dead bodies in Del Rio sector, hundreds down in Hidalgo. Ranchers who go out and find people who are dehydrating and dying into the heat. They try to save their life. And that's the reality. That's what we're facing. And there is an invasion, and it is bad for our country. It's bad for us, and it's bad for illegal immigrants. The last point I'll make is fentanyl. 9,500 pounds of fentanyl has come into our country this year. That's the total of the last 3 years combined. 100 pounds in Texas communities the first 4 months of this year compared to 10 pounds last year. Our people are dying. They're not just overdosing. They're actually dying of poisoning from the dangers of fentanyl, all because of cartels and because this administration refuses to do anything about it.
Now, it's not a dumb question, I guess, but I keep looking at the map. And every time I look, Haiti is nowhere near Mexico. In fact, it's on the opposite side of the Gulf of Mexico, surrounded by water. Yep. How are a bunch of Haitians showing up in Texas through Mexico?
Yeah, these are things that we need to run to ground about who's backing it, who's financing it. We know that the cartels have different price structures for moving human beings for profit into the United States. Cheapest if you're, in northern Mexico. More expensive if you're in southern Mexico or the Northern Triangle. Much more expensive if you're from Cuba or somewhere in the Caribbean or other parts of Central America or parts around the world. Very expensive if it's China or a state-sponsored terror like Iran or one of our enemies. So you've got that kind of a price structure. It's a bit of a market. We've had friends of ours who've been down, in fact, in Costa Rica just a couple of months ago, looking through checklists, really, as migrants are coming in there. They're signing up. They go, pay whatever they need to pay, and then somebody's moving them up through Mexico and into the United States. The cartels have full ownership from the Gulf of Mexico all the way to Big Bend. They own Tamaulipas, and we've allowed that to happen. And now they've got much more influence, not just on the border, but in the United States. We just ran across 9 immigrants in a car in Bernie, Texas, a suburb of San Antonio. 2 were bound in the trunk. The driver of the car was an American citizen employee of the Cartel del Noreste, which is a segment of the Los Zetas. And they were heading to a stash house in Houston to put them into the sex and labor trafficking trade. One of the young men paid $4,000 to go to California to pick grapes, but he was going to a stash house.
No, wait. Hang on a second. You're an American employee of a drug cartel with people bound in his trunk who thought they were going to be day laborers and instead were being sent into human trafficking?
Yes, this is happening, and it's happening regularly where we have these kinds of things that we run into. Now, of course, we have to luck into finding them. Just the same as when Senator Cruz and I were down in Laredo week before last, and we were sitting in the little scanner facility at the checkpoint 29 north of Laredo. We were watching the trucks come in, and about 5 minutes after we left, we got images from one of the trucks that had 29 illegals in the back of the truck. And then we went down to the river, and there were 33 on the other side of the river. Look, this is the reality of what's happening. We're getting absolutely inundated and overrun. And look, I do not blame the immigrants. These are human beings who are seeking a better way of life. But we are making a dangerous journey for them, endangering Americans, creating a mess in Texas, flooding our hospitals and our schools, but we're also endangering Mexico and the Northern Triangle because their countries are losing people and destabilizing their entire economy as well. So, you know, this is bad for everybody, and this administration doesn't care, even as Texans and Americans are dying and getting injured and endangered.
Well, let me dwell a little bit more on an American employee of the drug cartels. Our mutual friend Josh, who works down in Austin, has been telling me now for a couple of years that Americans don't have an appreciation for the collapse of the Mexican state and how the drug cartels are creating a crisis in Mexico, destabilizing the country. And now it sounds like there are spillover effects into the southern border area of the United States with now American employees of drug cartels smuggling people over for trafficking.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Our friend Josh, I know you're talking about, is 100% correct on that. I need to visit with our friend Josh. It's been a little while.
But so we need to.
Yeah, and look, that's the truth, though, right? And Mexico has collapsed into effectively a narco-terror state, much worse than it's ever been in its history. The cartels who own Tamaulipas, which is a massive stretch of the Texas border, they're very dangerous cartels, whether it's the cartels in the rest of it, whether it's the Reynosa faction of the Gulf Cartel, obviously in Reynosa right across from McAllen, or whether it's the cartel New Generation, which has now come in and sort of subsumed those other two cartels into a very dangerous, strong organization. The local governor and the police do not own Tamaulipas. They do not run it. The cartel does. And it is now becoming increasingly dangerous where you have burn pits, where you have bodies hanging from bridges, where you have people locked into bars and lit on fire. You have people that are held for ransom through the power of the cartels, and they're fearful. And now in the southern part of Texas, we're having that influence. We're having the influence of driving traffic for profit, moving fentanyl and dangerous narcotics for profit. And in the meantime, our ranchers are getting overrun and our people in Texas are getting
dangerous. What is the Biden administration response? Is there anything they're doing?
The Biden administration has no response. They're burying their head in the sand and they're pretending that this is somehow compassionate. And it's the false name of compassion, where little girls are getting branded and raped by cartels while they pat themselves on the back, while there are people, literally 89, as I said before, 89 dead bodies in Brooks County, 75 dead bodies in Del Rio sector, ranchers finding human beings, a mom pregnant with twins who was dead in a ranch just 2 weeks ago. This is happening in real time. The greatest country in the history of the world is allowing that to happen. And Democrats bury their head in the sand and they pretend this is somehow humanitarian. It's not. And we've got to be very loud about this. We have a duty to protect ourselves. Where those ranchers have a duty to protect their ranches and their property. But these are human beings that are being treated as a political football. In fact, Democrats this week in the Judiciary Committee referred to them as human infrastructure, essentially chattel, Eric. Like somehow that they're a political, you know, pawn to them. That's absolutely asinine. We have a duty to secure our border under the Constitution. It is good for us. It's good for migrants. And frankly, it's good for the Western Hemisphere. If you want to beat China, stop allowing China to exploit our border and endanger us and hurt Mexico and hurt the entire Western Hemisphere. Let's go beat China by having a strong Western Hemisphere with strong economies, strong trade. But let's have a secure, sovereign nation where we decide who comes in. It's better for everybody.
Last thing before I let you go, and I appreciate your time on this. I know you got a lot going on today. The Biden administration, one of the things that has come out in a lot of the reporting is one of the reasons they were so hesitant in scrambling to allow a bunch of people out of Afghanistan is they didn't want Republicans to have another talking point about flooding the nation with green card holders and others. And it just seems like they're causing two, not just humanitarian crises, but national security crises, bundling them together in their thinking and that have no plan to solve either situation. Now, with Americans, in fact, still left in Afghanistan.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, first of all, the current spending bill that they've got in front of the United States Congress is $3.5 trillion, you know, boondoggle, would massively grant amnesty and then provide green cards for the next 10 years in extraordinary numbers, you know, the most in our history. It's ridiculous. And then you see what's happening in Afghanistan. We have 60,000 people, according to Blinken, under the questioning of both Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, and some of my colleagues in the House, saying none of them were a part of the SIV program. I got shredded by all of the usual suspects, right? The same people who 15 years ago would say, oh, a wall is a 19th century solution to a 21st century problem. When we were screaming border security 15 years ago, Wall Street Journal, the Chamber of Commerce crowd, shredded me and 15 colleagues because we voted against increasing the SIV program because they added an 11th hour amendment, which massively expanded it, lowered the standards, and would have made it apply to NGOs and up to 200,000 people. We knew what the Biden administration would do. which is drive people into this country who have no vetting. We're not a part of the SIV program, and now that's what they're doing. And meanwhile, our border is wide open. Dangerous people are coming in. We had 112 Chinese nationals that we intercepted in McAllen over the last year. We've had seven from state sponsors of terror. We have massive people coming in from Haiti and Del Rio. It is absolutely a crisis, a national crisis. And if you're listening to this in Atlanta, Georgia, or all across this great country, it's coming to your community. Fentanyl is killing your kids and your family members in your community, and it's on the hands of this administration, and we've got to take it into our hands to secure it.
Amen. Listen, man, I thank you so much for being able to come in today, particularly quick notice to do it. My best to your wife and kids, and I will tell you, I'm sympathetic to something going on in your life right now. Gunner came home with a trombone, and oh my.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, because you've seen on Facebook, my daughter Virginia has a trombone, so it's playing trumpet. Best to your family. God bless them. God bless your better half, and tell her I want to see her with or without you, but God bless you, my friend.
She wants to ride the motorcycle over to see your wife, so it's going
to
happen.
You tell her to come on over. Tell her to come on, and we continue to pray for her and your whole family. God bless you.
Thank you. Take care. Congressman Chip Roy of Texas, such a good guy. Really, really, he's a good friend, a great prayer warrior for my family, and he knows what's going on down there. Did y'all catch that? You've got people coming into this country who think they're going to be migrant day laborers who the cartels have kidnapped, hogtied in the back of cars, and they're transmitting them into human trafficking, men and women, into sex slavery in this country. And the Biden administration isn't doing anything about it. This is not a good situation any stretch of the imagination. And the national media isn't covering it, in large part because they think it hurts Joe Biden. Well, it probably should. Maybe if they cover it, he'll have to do something about it. This is a crisis made worse by the administration not willing to build the wall that Donald Trump wanted to build. It's a crisis that is spiraling in large part because we're not allowed to talk about it because you're racist if you do. Mexico has become a failed state. We're in the northern part of Mexico. The drug cartels run rampant. Crime is out of control. They control the situation, and now they have American employees helping them both funnel drugs and people into human trafficking, and the Biden administration isn't doing anything about it. They need to take action, or the states themselves are going to have to. And God bless those states, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, and others that are sending National Guard troops to help Texas deal with this situation. I mean, the dead bodies there, the greatest nation on the planet, is allowing this to happen. And as Congressman Roy says, this isn't the fault of the people who are fleeing. It's not the fault of the illegal immigrants. They're fleeing really bad things. They're scared, and they're coming here. And the Biden administration has no ability to either help stabilize the situations where they are so they don't have to flee, or help resolve the situation here so that they're not dying in the desert, but also not flooding our country. This isn't a Republican versus Democrat situation here. This is a global national security and humanitarian crisis that the Biden administration is turning a blind eye to. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. You need to know one of the things the Biden administration has done in South Texas is Fox News has been using drones, as have other news networks, to show the 10,000 people under the bridge there in Del Rio, Texas. And the Biden administration, through the FAA, has now banned the use of drones in the area so that you can't actually see what's going on. So local law enforcement in Del Rio, Texas, is allowing the news reporters to put their cameras in helicopters, and they're flying them around. And so there is a in Fox News's Bill, what is Bill's last name now? It's Bill Fox LA is his user ID. It's Bill Malugan is down at the border, and they're covering this. I want to play for you some of the audio from him in this helicopter being flown around by local law enforcement after the Biden administration banned his use of drones.
Hey guys, good afternoon to you. This is a wild situation to see from the air. We reported earlier that the FAA grounded our Fox News drones. We cannot fly those. Well, the troopers with Texas DPS are kind enough to let us go up in their helicopter with them to get a look at the situation at this bridge right now. Take a look to 11,000 miles. Mexico into Del Rio right here, and they are waiting underneath the international bridge, waiting to be processed by Border Patrol. Look at the mass of people down there. This time 2 days ago, there were just over 4,000 people. There are now upwards of 11,000. We are talking nearly a tripling of the numbers in just 48 hours or so. You can get a real good perspective from the air right here of how many people are constantly streaming in. Our pilot's going to take us up this dirt path a little bit here so you can see why this crowd here just keeps getting so much bigger. These are mostly Haitian immigrants, but take a look at this as we move up the Rio Grande right here. That Mexican town that you're looking across the river, that is Ciudad Acuña. That is the Mexican city where all these migrants are gathering. And you can see they're using this dam right here to walk across the Rio Grande and enter the United States illegally. They then use a dirt path that's right below us, and they stream into the International Bridge area. We are talking thousands of people showing up every single day here. The problem is what's happening, the reason why they're all congregated underneath that bridge, is Border Patrol doesn't have enough agents to process these folks. They're completely overwhelmed. Their holding facilities are completely over capacity. Ryan, take a look there. You got more people crossing the Rio Grande right there coming through this dirt trail. This is nonstop, guys. This is a nonstop trail of migrants who are crossing the Rio Grande in multiple areas here. We're going to have a pretty wild shot coming up the Rio Grande right here in a moment. This is a steady line of hundreds of people. Brian, I don't know if you can pan up there.
Swimming
and
across
the Rio Grande. So look at that. That is a steady trail of hundreds of people crossing from Mexico as we speak right now, arriving into the United States illegally. Wow, that is a lot of people down there. And what we've been noticing is these folks are allowed to go back and forth between the United States and Mexico. There are no Border Patrol agents down there. There are no immigration agents on the Mexican side. It almost looks like it's a water park down there.
It does almost look like a water park. So you've got the Rio Grande, and there's a dam.
Hey guys, good afternoon.
And, stop. Hit the replay button. There's a dam. And they're literally walking. Now, it's a spillover dam. So it's a dam that has water running over the top of it. It's not like you're thinking of the Hoover Dam or something where it's drowned up. It's actually the water spills over the top, but you can see the edges of the dam, and they're walking across it. And then further back, they're actually swimming across the river. You can see them in the water swimming across the river. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. What happens when there's a cholera outbreak down there? You think the COVID outbreak is bad? Wait till you get a cholera outbreak. There's no sanitation down there. There's not, other than the Rio Grande itself, there's no running water down there for them. And they're just hanging out. This is a massive, massive situation down there. And by the way, you will not be surprised to learn that the major news networks outside of Fox aren't covering this, except Lester Holt on NBC's Nightly News last night covered it just a little bit. But CBS and ABC, CNN, MSNBC, they've ignored it, as have the major newspapers in the country. Staggering, staggering visuals, though. I'm going to retweet this. Just did. If you follow me on Twitter at EW Erickson, you can see the video. We come back, we'll take your phone calls, 877-973-7425. All right, I want to play this audio for you. And in credit where it's due, Lester Holt on NBC Nightly News, he is the only one of the big three newscasts, nightly newscasts, to cover both that Joe Biden ignored the Afghan advice of his generals and also the border situation. Nicholas Fondacaro, who works for Newsbusters and the Media Research Center, highlighted this morning. NBC Nightly News was the only evening newscast to note the new illegal border crossing numbers. Border Patrol reveals in August, for a second straight month, they encountered more than 200,000 migrants trying to cross the southern border. They did refuse to call it a crisis, though, but this is Lester. Credit where it's due. He at least covered it.
Now to the record migrant surge, and another baby and toddler found abandoned at the border, just as the Texas governor tonight is demanding President Biden shut down border crossings. NBC's Julia Ainsley has more.
The image is heartbreaking. Two children abandoned at the U.S. border. A two-year-old girl from Honduras and her three-month-old baby brother spotted by Border Patrol agents along the Rio Grande River.
The three-month-old was still in his baby car seat. A simple color caught their eye and were able to rescue these children.
It's just the latest instance of children abandoned during the record migrant surge, like these two young Ecuadorian girls thrown over a 14-foot-high border wall, and the 10-year-old Nicaraguan boy found by agents walking alone and crying in the Rio Grande Valley.
It is very taxing on us as agents to constantly see stuff like this happening.
The incident comes as Border Patrol reveals in August for a second straight month they encountered more than 200,000 migrants trying to cross the southern border. That's a 21-year high, though the total has dipped slightly from last month. Earlier this summer, we saw agents trying to keep up with the massive numbers just at this one bridge along the Rio Grande.
I do think that what we're dealing with is much different than what we've dealt with in the past.
It was in the hundreds when we were there. Tonight, officials say the number of migrants under that bridge is now in the thousands.
They're expecting 10,000 more, by the way. 10,000 more, 20,000 migrants. It is Eric Erickson here. 877-973-7425 is the phone number. Listen, this isn't getting a lot of national coverage outside of conservative circles, and you need to start asking yourself why that is. Why is it that no one is covering this? There are 10,000 people under a bridge in Texas, in Del Rio, Texas. They are expecting 10,000 more in just the next few days. The visuals from the air, which the Biden administration tried to shut down by banning drones, and now local officials in Texas are putting news crews in helicopters since their drones are banned by the FAA. And you're seeing people walking across a dam from Mexico into Del Rio, Texas, a steady stream. You're seeing people swim across the Rio Grande. You're seeing children abandoned. You're seeing dead mothers in the sand. They're uncovering people who are human trafficked. Congressman Chip Roy was on the show earlier talking about a group of people tied up and gagged in the back in the trunk of a car. They thought they were being smuggled across the border to go work in the fields of California, and in fact were being redirected by a cartel with their employee, the cartel's employee, who was an American citizen, sending them to a safe house where they were going to be directed into sex trafficking. Men and women who thought they were coming here for a better life, being kidnapped and forced into sex trafficking. And the Biden administration isn't doing anything. And the Democrats mocked Donald Trump for wanting to build a wall. Seems like these people's lives would be far better off with a wall that deterred them from coming than dying in the desert or being trafficked in human trafficking. And again, it's important, I think, I do think we've got to be mindful. It's not, they're not the bad guys. Those people who are coming, the children, the Haitians, the others who are coming, they're not the bad guys. And we shouldn't treat them as the bad guys. We should note there's an unusual number of Chinese migrants coming. Because China is not connected to Mexico any more than Haiti is. How are they coming? Why are they coming? Who are these people? We should wonder, are there bad people coming in the crowds who wish to do us harm, who know they can sneak into the country? But overwhelmingly, they're not bad people. They're not the enemy. They're people who want a better life. And their countries have turned into third world hellholes. In Mexico, the cartels are overtaking the government. They're controlling parts of Mexico. They're locking people in cars and burning the cars with the people inside. They're hanging them from bridges. They're killing local law enforcement. They're taking over towns. Mexico is a failed state at this point. In the Northern Triangle countries, in Central America. Criminal forces continue to take over and dominate in Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua. Governments are collapsing. They can't enforce the law. And so people are fleeing. In Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, people show up at night. They knock on your door. They say, tomorrow you must pay us money or we will kill you. And in the middle of the night, these families are packing up. And if they're not packing up, they're at least sending their kids to run, to flee, to head to America. And there are a couple of other points I think that probably do need to be made here to put this in proper context. In this country, you have a bunch of woke white progressives telling people this country is bad and oppressive and racist and hostile and mean and unrepentant and founded in 1619 on the backs of slaves. And we've never learned, and we are systemically racist. Our institutions are racist and oppressive. And you've got people in the middle of the night in Honduras packing up what they can carry on their backs and fleeing north to this country because they want to be here. There are a whole lot of people who are literally dying to come to this country. While in this country, our intellectual elite are ashamed of this country. If only we could trade them for the others. The ones who want to be here because they believe in the hope of this country versus those who are here are American citizens born and raised in all sorts of privileged positions and academic elites in this country who despise this country, who want to undermine this country, who want to turn this country away from liberal Western democracy into some version of authoritarian control by the left. If only we could send them to live in Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua and take those people in Guatemala, Nicaragua, and Honduras who want to be Americans and swap roles with them and let them come here. So because they clearly want to be here. They love this country. They know the greatness of this country, and they're fleeing through the dangers of the jungles of South Mexico and the wilds of the deserts of North Mexico and the cartels that want to put them in cars and burn the cars up or hog tie them and put them in the back of cars and smuggle them here to be trafficked sexually by abusers in this country. They're willing to take the risk to come. While the intellectual elite in this country want them to know that when they come, they're always going to be oppressed because they're not white unless they want to pretend to be white, and they still won't be white, and shame on them for not realizing they're oppressed in this country. Oh, they know oppression. The New York Times, I mentioned this earlier, the New York Times back in 2020 tried to explain why Hispanic voters and young black men were leaning towards Donald Trump. And the explanation they came with is that the young black men live in a toxic masculine culture of rap music. And the Hispanic voters are fleeing from charismatic strongmen. And they like the charismatic strongmen. They just don't like what happened to their country. And so Donald Trump is a toxic, masculine, charismatic strongman. Therefore, young black men and these Hispanic voters, that's why they're going for Donald Trump. This was an actual analysis in the New York Times. I'm not making this up. This really happened. And the white progressive elite in this country tell these people that when you come, you're going to be oppressed by a systemically racist nation. And it never dawns on them that these people, they're fleeing something terrible to come here. And I got to say, for people on the right who think we can't be giving foreign aid, if we spend some money in these countries and help them clean up, we won't have these people fleeing to this country. We may not want to be the world's policeman, but at some point, it's a better investment to spend it in Central America cleaning up these third world hellhole country governments so that these people can stay in their countries and build a life in their countries than flooding our southern border. There's an investment to be had. And frankly, if we don't do it, China's going to do it. China's already trying to make incursions into Central America, and we don't want China in the Western Hemisphere. We need to go back to the Monroe Doctrine. We need to be aggressively in support of stabilizing these countries, because one, it helps us to stabilize these countries so that they're not fleeing here. And two, it helps us keep relations with these countries who otherwise are going to be giving China military bases in Central America from which they can launch attacks in the Western Hemisphere. More than that, we've got to do something about Mexico. Mexico is a failed state. And the national media in the United States doesn't want to talk about it because it hurts Joe Biden. Where's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in 2019 and 2020 was going to the border regularly to lament the conditions because Donald Trump was president. She hadn't been back since Joe Biden was president. The kids are still in cages and there are twice as many now. Where is she? I thought she was the true believer. She's the political opportunist when it comes to this situation, like so many of the others. It's not a good situation. And it is made worse by a president who doesn't seem to be willing to tackle the problem. And I got to be honest with you, I disagree with Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor of Texas, who says if they come here and they get the right to vote, they're going to vote Democrat, because that's not actually happening. Latino Hispanic voters in this country are more and more becoming Republican voters in Florida, in Texas, in Colorado, in Arizona, and in California now. Because the Republicans treat them as American citizens, those voters, and as human beings. And the Biden administration and the Democrats and the political left, they're treating them as a crisis to be ignored. But it's a crime problem and it's a national security problem. The fact that a group of Haitians, a large group, thousands of Haitians, are on our southern border at Del Rio, Texas, which means they had to take planes or boats to Mexico and head north. How did they do it? Who covered their costs? Why are they there? The fact that a large group of migrant Chinese have been found at the border. Who are they? Why are they there? How did they get there? And when you point this stuff out, the left goes nuts and says, you're delving into conspiracy theory. Of course there are no Muslims. Oh, we found. Remember a couple of years ago, we arrested Islamic fighters who were crossing the border. This really did happen. The FBI sent out a press release. And the situation hadn't gotten better. The situation has not gotten better. And we need it to get better. And to get it better, it can't just be the states. The federal government needs to help. The federal government has an obligation to stop invasions of the states. This is a real world, real live invasion of Texas. It may not be an armed invasion, but it's still a mass invasion of people. 10,000 under a bridge in Del Rio, Texas. They're expecting 10,000 more in the next few days. That's not just a humanitarian crisis. It's an invasion, and one the Biden administration is failing to stop. Something's got to give here. Something has got to give, and it's got to be us on our side demanding action from Washington, D.C. on a bipartisan basis. It's got to happen for the sake and the lives of those who are coming and for the sake of those who are the farmers and workers in South Texas, Arizona, New Mexico who are having to deal with it. Something's got to happen. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago a prayer request for an eighth grader named Isaac who severely broke his leg playing football, freak accident, and he has had to lose his foot, and just wanted to bring y'all an update. They had to amputate his foot, and they're hoping that that'll be all. And I appreciate the prayers, and so many of you have reached out and asked for an update and just wanted to tell you. Just please keep him and his family in prayers, Isaac, as he recovers from the surgery. He's still got a few more surgeries they have to do. Just a terrible freak accident. As I understand it, broke his leg. The bone tore through the artery, caused all sorts of damage. Just terrible. So he's in eighth grade. Keep him in your prayers, he and his family. It just tears me up to think about it. But he's doing way better than those around him. His mental state is great. So many other people worried. Clarence Thomas is causing all sorts of commotion on the left. They can't stand the guy for one. And he's given a speech, South Bend, Indiana, Notre Dame. This is the Washington Post. He defended the independence of the Supreme Court on Thursday and warned against destroying our institutions because they don't give us what we want when we want it. The longest serving justice acknowledged the high court has its flaws, comparing it to a car with three wheels that somehow still worked. But he said the justices are not ruling based on personal preferences and suggested the nation's leaders should not allow others to manipulate our institutions when we don't get the outcomes we like. Now, he was giving this lecture at the University of Notre Dame and said, I think the media makes it sound as though you are just always going right to your personal preferences. So if they think you're an anti-abortion or something personally, they think that's the way you'll always come out. They think you're for this or that. They think you're becoming a politician. That's the problem. You're going to jeopardize any faith in the legal institution, he says. He echoes Justices Breyer and Barrett, and also Kagan, by the way, all of whom had said the court's not political, that they certainly are ideological in how they approach the Constitution and the like, but they're not being a bunch of partisan hacks, in Amy Coney Barrett's words. And then Justice Thomas said something else. He said the Supreme Court might actually, what was intended to be the least invasive of the federal institutions, might now be the most dangerous when some on the court do behave politically and try to make outcomes for politics. The left is attacking Clarence Thomas, essentially saying, well, of course he's a politician. Why? Because Clarence Thomas is actually very predictable in how he views things, and people kind of know where he's going to land. And that should be the point of the Supreme Court. Hey, follow along with me here. You want predictable patterns of jurisprudence in this country. If every single decision before the Supreme Court were a crapshoot, the nation's business would be upended. By having a number of justices who you can say, all right, in these cases, we're not really sure of the outcome, but we can fairly be sure in most cases we're going to get this sort of outcome because of the ideological leanings of the court. It provides a more stable path forward for the business of the nation and the business of business as well. Like Stephen Breyer constantly sides with the conservatives when it comes to major corporate decisions. He knows corporate law and patent law better than most, and it provides a way for people to move forward in this country knowing they're not going to get grossly disrupted by the Supreme Court. You should want those sorts of predictable outcomes. You shouldn't want the unpredictable outcomes, and we can predict based on their ideological leanings, not based on their partisanship. The fact that people on the left don't understand this just shows how they want to make everything about politics and degrade and disregard our institutions that don't do their bidding for them. It's the Supreme Court's popularity has fallen in large part because the left has so politicized it in an effort to pack it. Sad. You guys have a great weekend. See y'all on Monday.